I'm going to start out today with my very favorite Easter story, and this is actually a true story. There was a New Thought minister who was standing at the back of church greeting people as they were leaving. And, "Good morning," she said to this little boy who was waiting in line to see her after church. "And I've been waiting to tell you something that's happened to me," he said. "Wonderful," she said. "Ever since I was little, I always wanted to be a bunny rabbit. I always wished that I was furry and free to hop and run all over. I wished and I wished, but I finally gave up because I saw that I was going to never get my wish and become a rabbit. Then last week, a miracle happened." "Really?" she chuckled, imagining that he had received a special pet rabbit. "Yes," he said, with his eyes wide in wonder. "After all this time of wishing, God gave me a dream one night, and in my dream, I was a bunny rabbit, and I felt what it was like to be furry and free and run and hop and play. I had a wonderful time, and I got my wish." "That's wonderful," she agreed. "But that's not all," he said excitedly. "During my dream, God showed me how wonderful it is to be a bunny rabbit. And when I woke up, I realized that the feelings that I wanted to feel in being a bunny rabbit are already inside of me. So I've been carrying what I wanted with me all along." His eyes were wide with recognition, and hers were filled with tears of appreciation at his newly found inner splendor. "Thank you for sharing your wonderful story with me," she managed to get out. "I just thought you'd like to know," he said, as he smiled and walked off with his mom into the crowd. "I just thought you'd like to know." I also want to share two of my favorite quotes today. In the first is part of my personal covenant with my beloved. And it's from the Old Testament, from Zephaniah 3. "Shout for joy, daughter of Zion. Israel, shout aloud. Rejoice, exult with all your heart. Yahweh, your God, is in your midst. He will exult with joy over you, and he will renew you by his love. He will dance with shouts of joy for you as on a day of festival." It's clear to me that joy and happiness are not the same thing. I had some challenges this week, and that distinction started to become really clear to me. Happiness, to most people, is defined as the elation that accompanies good fortune. Isn't that true? No, when you feel happy, it's about something good just happened. When things are going well, when the sun is shining, when we get a raise, or we get a new job, when we think we're in love, when we go to hop like a bunny, we feel happy. And we confuse that with the quality of joy that I'm talking about today. Getting in touch with the stuff that's already inside us. Joy is the evidence of God's presence in the human experience. And God can never not be present. We have to learn to look for the evidence. It's there, and sometimes in spite of what's happening in the outside world. You ever cried and felt joy at the same time? I sure know I have. So you know what I mean. Joy is the awareness that it's all good. Even in this, God is here. This too is God. This too is good. We can't ever escape the presence of God. So when we begin to see all of life as a perfect reflection of our thoughts, and we come to see that life always brings us whatever we send out, and then we can't help but rejoice in the perfection, because we notice that that's exactly what's happening all the time. There's really a great sense of release and relief when you recognize that, you're really in charge. What you send out comes back. The second quote is from one of my favorite authors, mystic, poet, and Catholic priest, Pierre Teilhard de Chardin. He says, joy is the most infallible sign of the presence of God. I've heard it translated, joy is the echo of God's life in us. I like that. And so I would like to tell you a story about a man and his young son who were taking a walk in the forest, and suddenly his son tripped and fell and had a sharp pain, and he began to scream, ah! And surprised, he heard a voice coming from the mountains that repeated, ah! And filled with curiosity, he began to scream, who are you? But the only answer he received was, who are you? And this started to make this little boy angry, so he screamed, you're a coward! And the voice answered, you're a coward! He looked at his father and said, Dad, what's going on? And son, the man replied, pay attention. Then the father began to scream, I admire you. And the voice answered, I admire you. And the father shouts, you are wonderful. And the voice said, you are wonderful. And the boy's surprised, but he still didn't understand what was going on. And the father then began to explain. People call this the echo. But truly, it's life. Life always gives you back what you give out. Life's a mirror of your actions and beliefs. If you want more love, give more love. If you want more kindness, give more kindness. If you want understanding and respect, give understanding and respect. The rule of nature applies to every aspect of our lives. Life always gives you back what you give out. Life is not a coincidence, but it's a mirror of your own doings. So joy is not something that we get or obtain. Joy is what we are. We can't search for joy because it's not outside of us. It's already where we are, and we have to let it reveal itself to us. This is the important distinction to remember. Joy is not a reactionary emotion. It's a causative energy. I'm going to say those words again. Joy is not a reactionary emotion. It's a causative energy. It's not something that happens as a result of our outer experience. It's something we can release from within ourselves by our active will. Nisargadatta Majaraha responded with this sunny response to an inquiry about his not feeling sad in the face of circumstances that drive most people to despair, such as war or poverty and the like. He said, in my world, nothing ever goes wrong. He was saying that he lived in the world of spirit, and the rest is illusion. The Course in Miracles tells us, nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God. Nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God. So we experience joy when we experience the presence of God. Now, everything that we teach here is about learning to live in the presence. It's all about living consciously, living in awareness, so that we stay in present moment and not let ourselves be pushed by the past or pulled by the future. Living in the presence is living in the present. I'll give you an example. I had a rather angry outburst at someone this week, and I apologize to her and to all those who witnessed it. Because I became aware, even as I was doing it, that what I was experiencing at the moment was not what I was really feeling the anger over. Very interesting. You ever notice that? Most of the time when we're angry, it's not about what we just got angry about. I wasn't really conscious at the moment of the outburst, but I'm going to tell you it was immediately after. Immediately. So I like that. My time legs are getting shorter, and that's a sign of growth. But what I'm really saying is that spiritual growth isn't about feeling good all the time, and it isn't about being perfect or even about liking the things that are happening in our lives. At a split second after that outburst, I could see the perfection in what was happening in me, as me, and through me. You know, in the pain that I was feeling in the moment, and even with the tears that I started to shed, I really felt a deep sense of joy. Does that sound strange? You know? Yes, it does. Well, you know, I was in touch both with the anger at the moment and where it was coming from. So I was in a state of being present and could feel the presence as a result. That's what we mean when we talk about consciousness. See, I think most of us think it means bliss. I can be out there feeling wonderful all the time. And what it is being conscious at the moment, so we don't get caught up in what's happening at the moment, but come to recognize when there are spaces of healing that show up in our life. You know, I think sometimes we think that if we're living a spiritual life, nothing should go wrong. You know, I really think that we have this illusion that, you know, I'm on a spiritual path. Why are things happening? You know, and of course they're happening to me, you know, when they're happening like that. But, you know, we don't think we should ever have a bad day. Isn't that true? We get, you know, well, I'm on this spiritual path. I've been praying for so long. Why does this continue to happen? And, you know, I've talked about the problem of the pursuit of happiness. I think our forefathers did us a very serious damage when they put that words out there. You know, because that's what we've been about, is the pursuit of happiness. And it's easy to be blissful when you're in seclusion. It's easy to realize the presence of God when you're in meditation. You know, isn't that a wonderful experience? And sometimes we even have moments of bliss. But that's not the joy I'm talking about. The joy is the experience of the presence in every situation. It's about continually living in what I'm going to call divine grace. Because living in grace means you're constantly living under guidance. I'm going to play with the word here. Notice the word guidance ends in the word dance. One of my favorite words. And I believe it's a great metaphor for living in the spiritual life. Allowing life to flow from God's point of view and allowing ourselves to live in the present is like dancing, a lot like it. Because when two people are dancing and they both try to lead, you ever been there? Nothing feels right. The movement doesn't flow with the music. Everything's uncomfortable. It gets very jerky. But when one person realizes this and lets the other lead, both bodies begin to flow with the music. One gives gentle clues, and perhaps with a nudge at the back or pressing lightly in one direction or another. And then it's as if the two become one body and they start moving beautifully together. And the dance takes surrender. It takes willingness and attentiveness from one person and gentle and guidance and skill from the other. So when you think of the word guidance, see the G as God, followed by you, and I, and the word means God, you, and I dance. God, you, and I dance. So experiencing joy is about being in the dance with God. Living in the joy is about trusting the guidance about your life at every single moment. There is nothing wrong here. No matter what's happening in your life, no matter what it looks like, this is the perfection of life. It's following exactly the impress of our thoughts. Are you willing to let God lead as you do your part? You know, let means letting things be just as they are and just as they are not. Letting it be, and that's not easy. It takes focus, it takes discipline and dedication to learn those steps. I don't know about you, but there are a list of things in my life that I want different. You know, this shouldn't be, I want it that way. Isn't that what causes us struggle? Isn't that what takes away our joy? What if it just is? Whatever is, is. Whatever is not profound, isn't this? You know, but allowing ourselves to stop fighting life. Because it's only in accepting what is that any transformation can take place. Ernest Holmes, the founder of religious science, defines joy as the emotion excited by the expectancy of good. See, this is not about I want things to be different because they're not good now, but I'm expecting good at all times. So what is good, and I can't see it any other way. So when you know the presence of God in all things, you have to expect the good. I firmly believe that we're here to experience joy. Scripture tells us it's the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. So no matter what's taking place in your life right now, no matter how else you would like it to look, joy will only be realized when you say, this is it. Right here, right now, is where the presence of God is. God is, not God will be when, but in the here and now, God is. Author Leo Biscaglia, the man who used to go around teaching seminars on love, tells a story about his mother and their misery dinner, he called it. It was the night after his father had come home and said it looked as if he'd have to go into bankruptcy because his partner had absconded with the firm's funds. His mother went out, listen to this one, she went out and sold some jewelry to buy food for a sumptuous feast. And the other members of the family began scolding her for doing it, but she said to them, the time for joy is now when we need it most, not next week. And her courageous act rallied the family. So we have that opportunity to live in joy every single day. We don't want to postpone happiness and joy until the debts are settled or till our relationships are rearranged. Joy doesn't exist out in the world somewhere. It's inside. Joy doesn't depend on what's happening to us, but what we're allowing in us. So, like all things, joy is a matter of choice. And when we enlighten up, we begin to enlighten the world. You know, just go with that a moment, because taking ourselves too seriously is the opposite of joy. Isn't it? We take life so seriously, and we make up meanings for everything. I don't know about you, but I do that. You know, this must mean, and of course it's the wrong meaning, you know, I don't have this, therefore, you know, this is not in my life, therefore, anybody, you know, I don't have the money I want, I don't have the relationship I want, I don't have the body I want, I don't have the health I want, I don't have the, you name it, and therefore things must be, you know. We lose our joy when we think things should be another way from what they are, because we want to control the situation. And we want to make it into something it's not. So, here's our homework for this week. You ready? Quit complaining about anything. Ooh. Anybody willing to take that on? Really, really watch this week. Quit complaining about anything. I mean all the little things. You know, I would like you to think for a moment right now of your constant complaint. We all have one. What's your biggest complaint, you know? What's the one that's really nagging at you? Can you let that one go? You know, can you let that one go? What a joyful experience that can be. If we just let that one complaint go. You don't have to let them all go if that's a little too hard. But just the one, you know. That big one, you know. The one you carry. And if we get that the joy is what we're seeking and really begin to live more in the presence, then we'll start to realize we really have nothing to complain about. Look at the ways that we can also bring joy wherever we are. You know, we're told that angels have wings because they take themselves lightly. So notice this week, you know, when you're making a drama out of something, and ask yourself, what story am I telling myself here? What am I telling myself is happening? What's really happening, and what's my story about what's happening? See if you can see it both ways. One's the facts, and, you know, I've once heard that the facts are the things you can put in a wheelbarrow. You got to be able to see it. So if you say something like, when he did this to me, then it made me, or she said and it must have meant, you stop and say, would someone who was observing the situation, if they could observe the situation, would they say that's what was happening? You know, if they put the picture in the newspaper, for example, could you tell from the picture? Usually, you know, somebody may make a frown and we say, obviously they're angry, or obviously we make up the story. So what would the picture look like if it was a static picture? What's really happening and what have you made up? Because what you make up is what makes you lose your joy. Trust me, I'm good at it. So we want to train ourselves to be a joy detector. So we want to look for the joy rather than for what's wrong here. You know, how many of us look for, you know, what's wrong with this picture? And the here may be a situation or it may be something within yourself. And so when you're tempted to complain, you know, try complimenting yourself instead. Interesting. So we're going to switch that. First you're going to complain, you're going to think about the music, you're going to stop and you're going to say, wait a minute, I'm not going to complain. What I want to do is find the things that I can be joyful about. There's a great question you can ask, no matter what's happening. What's good about this situation? You know what happens when you ask your brain the question, if you say, what's wrong with me? You know what? Your brain will tell you. It'll give you the entire list of all the things you've ever thought wrong. Or why isn't this working? Well, here's why it isn't working. It's because my mother did this when I was 3 and my son, you know? Doesn't that happen? So the questions we ask ourselves are really important. The question we're asking is, what's good about this situation? We want to get back to the original joy. And then you can take at least 10 things a day that you can give a compliment about. And I would like to suggest that we say them out loud to someone else, whether they're about ourselves or about someone else. It's a great way to begin experience joy. You cannot not be joyful if you're spending the day looking for what to compliment. Think about that. Looking for what's working and what's good in your life and everyone else. So we learned over and over again in life that supply is not about getting, it's about giving. So if you want more joy, ask yourself, where am I sharing and where am I serving? Because when you share your talents, it delights others. Did you notice that? We had perfect example of that today. So if you want joy, get your eyes off yourself. Get them first on God. Then open your eyes around you and see everyone around and what they might need. If you want joy in your life, find a need and fill it. Find a wound and heal it. So when you do, you'll discover that joy finds you. You don't find joy. The prayer of St. Francis that I've always loved, and it says, Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. Where there's hatred, let me so love. Where there's injury, pardon. Where there's doubt, faith. Where there's despair, hope. Where there's darkness, light. Where there's sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Jesus, the Master Teacher, told us in his final words, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Remember, he didn't say, you'll always be happy. But he did promise joy. Happiness is concerned with what happens to us. But joy is connected to what's going on within us. Happiness comes and goes. But joy is a constant because it's an inherited quality. So we now choose to live in that quality. So say yes to whatever it is that life is holding out for you at this very moment. Look within. Be still and know. The light of God surrounds us. The love of God enfolds us. The power of God protects us. The presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is, and all is well. Thank you.